Cyclone Nation. You are now tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, presented by Mr. B Clothing. And now, here's your host, Chris Williams.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest installment of the Mr. B Clothing Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Gorgeous little Tuesday afternoon here in central Iowa. We welcome you to the program wherever you are tuning in from today. Brent Bloom went on vacation with me, or we went on vacation with each other and our significant others last week. Bloom's taking a week off of the podcast. He's got some catching up to do with his day job, so we're bringing in... Johnny Venters to Bloom being Craig Kimbrell. Adam Gray today. How are you?
Good. I was wondering how you were going to describe me there. I'll take Johnny Venters.
That's a nice comparison.
He's got some good stuff. He's on the disabled list, though. Well, so is that where I am right now?
No, we're calling you Johnny Venters at full potential.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah. There's worse things to be.
He's a lefty, so.
He is a lefty.
You know, the comparison is he throws high 90s. That's where it ends.
Yeah. Hey. That I would take that. For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, it's just a little inside Atlanta Braves jargon. Again, welcome to the Mr. B Clothing Podcast. I want to encourage you, as the warm months are approaching, to give our guys Tim Sitzman down at Mr. B Clothing at 1995 Northwest 86th Street. Give him a visit and get yourself some of that quality summer gear. He's got it all, I tell you what, and he's got all those bright clothes and the bright ties, Adam. That's what Tim always tells me to go with.
The bright ties?
You got to go bright when it comes to spring and summer.
Okay. Got to stick out a little bit more?
I'm a wool tie guy normally. I like the wool, skinny, dark tie, like the gray tie. But Timmy tells me that once you're at any point where you can wear shorts or short sleeve, you need to move over to the silk bright colored tie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know this. Now, do you go with the skinny tie because you're a big Ryan Seacrest fan and he kind of got you onto the skinny tie?
Yeah. I'm a huge Ryan Seacrest fan.
I thought so. I knew you.
I prefer the skinny tie. Yeah. In fact, the other day to Easter church, I wore a regular tie, which I probably haven't done in a good year and a half. And it felt just huge. I'm like, what is this thing hanging from my neck?
Really?
Yeah.
Neck,
bizarre.
Neck pains afterwards from all that weight?
No, not so much that. It just felt weird.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, whatever.
See, I would never be able to pull off a skinny tie. I think I'm too big of a guy. I think a skinny tie would just look like a stripe down my chest, and that'd be about it.
I think you could pull it off.
You think so?
I think you're underestimating yourself. Anyways, what happened when I was gone? Anything?
Yeah, you know, we got two recruits at Iowa State to commit. I mean, you know how it goes. I mean, anytime you leave, good things typically happen at Iowa State.
So I've been told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at first, it was kind of just like a joke, you know, like, ha-ha, Chris is gone, something's going to happen. Now we have evidence that it happens over and over and over again.
This has happened numerous times now.
Yeah.
So, like I wrote in Monday Musings, I'm currently taking collections. If we can get to the point where I can retire and support the family for the rest of my life, we are taking donations, and I will quit altogether, and the Clones will win a national title in football this fall.
Yeah, well, we don't want you to quit. We want you to somehow be a part of Cyclone Fanatic, but just from a distance, like 1,500 miles or so would be good.
Just move. Okay, so find me a place to live in Florida.
Okay.
And we'll do it that way.
Sounds fair.
I'll still work.
I'll donate. And I'll donate a couple hundred dollars for a national title.
That sounds like a fair deal.
Instead
to
of donating to Iowa State and the Cyclone Club, just Cyclone Fanatic people.
Yeah, just donate to me living in Florida.
I'm sure Jamie Pollard loves hearing this right now.
Pollard is just rolling his eye. You know what, though? I'm pretty convinced that Jamie Pollard rolls his eyes at about 70% of what is said on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Yeah.
That's assuming that Jamie Pollard's listening, which he's not.
While I'm doing this, I always envision him sitting there listening to it.
Yeah,
so.
in the big office next to Jack Trice Stadium, wanting to know what us hacks have to say.
And I imagine Paul Rhodes and Fred Hoiberg sitting across from him listening as well. They get together to listen.
It's appointment podcasting for the big wigs in the Iowa State Athletic Department. They need to know. They need to know what the people are thinking.
Yeah,
and we like to make this podcast about the people. Every time we do the podcast, for real. I run through our message board and I see what the hot topic is.
And then we just go from there.
Today's right now at the top of the board. It's about TCU, Kansas State women's basketball. We're probably going to shy away from that. Not that we don't. I just don't see you or I knowing much about it.
Why is that on the board right now?
I think there's a core group of diehard women's basketball fans on our site, and
I love reading their stuff.
Yeah, and we like to cater to them, and that's why we cover women's basketball. Thanks to Wilson Toyota, like we do. But I feel like if you and I tackled that subject today,
I had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's
It'd
obviously
be a tough deal.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything negative about the people talking about it. It seems odd timing.
Those people there, though. I mean, these folks on the women's basketball forum are up. They're up on it.
Yeah, they know what's going on.
I mean, they're legit. I learn a lot from them.
I do. I like reading the women's basketball threads.
Yeah, so we're going to avoid that one today. I do have quite a bit, though. I have a lot of quick little topics to hit on again. Thanks to Mr. B Clothing for coming up on a year anniversary now, sponsoring the Mr. B Clothing podcast. It's really taken off. We're going to have a lot more podcasts coming up in the fall. I'm just going to tease you with that, and then we'll get more on that here when some details are ironed out. But we're really looking forward to some changes coming up here at CycloneFanatic.com. All right, I don't even know. I don't consider this to be a hot topic, Adam, but it is. Just the Hoiberg NBA stuff. I guess I never really was threatened. Speaking from an Iowa State standpoint, obviously, of Hoiberg and the Minnesota Timberwolves, and this was my theory on that, once Fred signed the new deal. Until he signed the new deal, I'm kind of like, well, you never know what's going to happen.
Sure.
But, you know, Fred and Flip Saunders are friends.
Yeah.
They're buddies. I've seen Flip and Ames a couple times this year. And, you know, it's been no secret that Rick Adelman was leaving. He's retiring.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking to myself, like, don't you think that Fred and Flip have had this conversation before? I really don't see Fred signing that deal if he knows he's going to get an offer from the Timberwolves and he knows he's going to take it. There's not – between those two guys, you know, like there's been very fluid conversations, I'm sure. There had to have been. So, you know, when everything surfaced on Monday with folks trying to stir it back up, if you aren't trying to do that, he's a natural candidate for the job.
Yeah.
So if you're a guy reporting for the USA Today and you live in – I think they're based out of like DC. They have DC. There's one in Virginia. I think they have an office in New York. But you know, that's a natural name to throw out as a floater. But for anyone locally, I just feel like if you logically put the pieces of the puzzle together, once Hoiberg signed that new deal, he was not going to take the Minnesota Timberwolves job.
Well, I was never worried about him taking the job, but I don't understand what the new deal he signed had anything to do with him taking an NBA job. Because
NBA job. My point is the Timberwolves job is different.
Okay.
Because of the friendships he has.
Yeah.
I don't believe if Fred – I'll put it this way. This is probably a better way to put it. Fred would have known. 2 weeks ago, if he was going to get that Timberwolves job offered to him.
Sure.
Because Adelman was out. He was retiring. This has been the case for a while now.
Yeah.
If Fred wanted to take that job, I truly don't believe he would have just signed that new deal.
Even though the new deal really, there was no different terms. All it was extra cash.
Yeah. Like, there's really no, because it doesn't even go into effect until May 1st.
I guess I don't understand the point. It's really irrelevant whether he signed it or not.
Correct.
For that job.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
To a point, but I still don't think. There's a whole level of respect and the whole Ames, Iowa thing and the loyalty thing. I think if Fred knew he was on his way out, he just would have stalled and left.
Yeah. It's not like Fred's Steve Alford.
Correct. He's it's not his that. Personality.
Yeah.
Would be that's why the new deal
I
is relevant.
What you're okay.
But my thing is, again, I don't think people have nationally, no, I don't think locally this is going, but nationally, I don't think people grasp the relationship between Flip and Fred. This was never happening, in my opinion. This was never even a threat, and you're seeing that play out as Flip Saunders was quoted on Minneapolis radio, I guess, last night. I saw Travis Hines had this in the Ames Tribune saying that Fred's not going to be the guy. So, again, I even yesterday when it first surfaced, before those quotes were out, I really thought it was a non-story.
No, non-story. And you know what? It's going to keep coming up year after year after year.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. As long as Fred continues to have success here, obviously with his NBA connections, the story is never going to go away. Just like with Kirk Ferentz, for years, NFL every year kept coming back over and over and over again, and that didn't really die down until he went 4-8.
Correct. So, same with Paul Rhodes. Paul Rhodes has been mentioned with jobs when he was going to bowl games at Iowa State. How many jobs was he mentioned with after a 3-9 campaign?
Nothing. Yeah. I don't hear anything.
So that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And I'll be honest, I don't know what Fred thinks as far as if he wants to coach in the NBA someday or not, but I really liked hearing him say that he would like this to be his last job. Wasn't that what he said? I believe he had a quote. Basically,
you know, I don't remember reading that quote, but I don't doubt you either.
Yeah. I could have sworn maybe to Randy Peterson. I read it somewhere where he's – or maybe Hines. Hines might have had that.
I remember that quote last year after – remember the whole Minnesota college job and he signed the new deal. I remember a quote like that. So he has said it before.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I guess if you asked me, I would guess that he'll coach in the NBA at least once someday, but I don't know that. I mean – to me, that just seems like a natural progression. But the thing is, Adam, the more he wins at Iowa State, the tougher it is to leave.
I agree. I mean, his job gets easier, Chris.
Yeah. Well, and then exactly. Think if he would go and just throw a spitball in here, but a Sweet 16 next year.
Yeah.
Then you're all of a sudden. I mean, you're already thought of as an elite coach.
Yep.
Right now, I think. But then you start to get looked at as no, I wouldn't. If you go to two Sweet 16, that doesn't make you an elite program. But you're on the map nationally, and you can do a lot more things at Iowa State than you could have done when you first got here. So it's setting up well for Iowa State, and even if he would, let's just, again, another hypothetical, say Iowa State goes to an Elite Eight next year, and Fred leaves, you're going to be able to get a much better coach than you would have had he left 2 years ago. It sets up well for Iowa State no matter what.
It really does. And, you know, I'm sure people are going to think this is a little overboard, but I'd really like to see Fred Hoiberg be our Jim Boeheim, where he's here and he just, you know, Jim Boeheim could have gone to the NBA
Tom
many
Izzo.
Times. Tom Izzo, Calhoun at UConn, these really successful coaches, they just built that program. And once you build that foundation and you get players to the NBA and you have success there, recruiting becomes easier, getting good assistants becomes easier. Not to say the job's is easy. It's not easy. They still make a lot of money because of how hard it is, but that all the work that he has had to do to get Iowa State up, that will now pay dividends. And hopefully he says, I put in all this work. I want to stay here, and I want to win 1,000 games at Iowa State.
Yeah, and I think another – and this is kind of the wild card is his heart.
Yeah.
You don't know –
that's a good point.
I don't know if he can coach as long as Jim Boeheim or Jim Calhoun.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can't either.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Like, and Fred's talked about it. I mean, he gets his checkups, and they let him know what's going on. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, and that's where it comes down to what are his career goals, and right now he's given everybody nothing to believe that he wants to be at Iowa State. So I think that if your blood pressure raised a little bit from some of those headlines yesterday, I really believe that you can relax, unless like a job out of nowhere comes up. It's never over. I mean, this is a very fluid field.
What if the Lakers call him?
He has to think about that.
I mean, that's the Lakers.
Yeah. If the freaking Lakers call you, you've got to look at it.
You got to.
Just like the Celtics last year.
You could coach Kobe Bean Bryant.
At the age of 52.
Still love it.
speaking of coaching changes, Doc Sadler now being mentioned with the Southern Miss job. I've heard a source earlier today, quote, he's going hard after it, which I don't blame him.
No,
that'd
I don't
be
either.
A great job for Doc.
Yep.
I still think he's a year off.
What job is this? Southern Miss?
Yeah.
Old Larry Station job?
Yeah.
That's open quick. 2 years and that guy's gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he moved on and took another job.
Oh, he did.
So it's a good gig. I think Doc needs another year on a bench. I'm just thinking logically how these things generally work. I really like Doc. I like Doc at Nebraska. That's an impossible place to win, or at least it was when he was the coach. Now
their priorities have changed a little bit in Nebraska.
Yeah, now it's better. They've got facilities, but you still have Creighton to compete with.
Yeah.
You still have the monster that is your football program to compete with. If I'm Tim Miles, I take the next gig out of there while I'm the hot name. I don't know about – we don't need to get this into a Nebraska podcast. But Doc's name being mentioned with Southern Miss, I heard his name a couple weeks ago getting mentioned with Florida Atlantic. In fact, he may have even interviewed for that job, I think.
Yeah.
But he didn't get that one. But this is another Otzelberger gets courted and swept off his feet by Washington last year. Bobby Lutz to NC State. Bobby's was more of a deal of wanting to get closer to home and family that was all still in North Carolina. But Doc Sadler being mentioned with Southern Miss is another good sign.
It is a good sign. I mean, it's the same thing with Fred Hoiberg. your guys aren't going to get all this people wanting, I guess, to hire him unless you're winning, and we're winning. So it's going to continue. And, you know, I'm sure Fred's got to be to the point too, where just like any owner, you want your people that work below you to get job offers. It just says a lot about them working hard and the job you're doing. So it's painful to say this, but hopefully Doc gets it. Be happy for him.
You know what? That's a good, you're right. You're onto something. Like, I've worked with enough assistant coaches now in football and basketball. These guys want to go coach the good ones.
Yeah.
For guys who have produced head coaches.
Yes.
They were, you know, Rick Pitino. There, you know, there's certain guys, you know, the Hayden Fry tree.
Yep.
That always got talked about back in the day. That's who guys want to coach for. So if Doc would leave.
To that point, though, I don't know if Fred can get a lot of, you know, can he take a lot of credit for Doc leaving? I mean, Doc has already had a job at Nebraska before. It's not like he's completely unknown. It's not like TJ getting a job.
He's been off of a bench for
3 years now? Two, 3 years?
Yeah. So.
But he's still a proven commodity. People still know
Doc. But he
wasn't
coaching at Kansas. He was an ops director. So you come to Iowa State and, I mean, 1 year and bam, you're
Sweet
back
16.
As a head coach in a pretty decent program.
It doesn't look bad upon
Iowa
State. I'm not saying
take
that.
Credit, but he'll get the credit.
Hey, that's great then. Take
that's
it.
That's what matters
take
for
it.
Iowa State. Yeah. That's what matters.
Okay.
That's all I have with hoops. I just had a little Hoiberg stuff to get off my chest. You got anything else?
I'm already giddy for the next year of hoop season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun again.
You still have football.
No, and I, you know, I'll look forward to football.
Here's a teaser. I got a teaser for you.
Let's hear it.
Little hoops.
What do you got?
Talked to Clayton Custer today.
Okay.
Earlier today. Nice little Q&A coming up on the website later this week.
Very nice. That's the only teaser we're getting?
Well, I don't want to blow it because then there won't be point for people to read it.
Is he guaranteed?
This kid, 4 years of high school, overall record, 94-6.
Wow. Winner.
Yeah. Those two of the losses were in state championship games.
To Perry Ellis' team, if I'm correct.
His freshman and sophomore year, yeah. Yeah. This kid's unbelievable. Talking to him is like talking to a professional 30-year-old who's like a pre-med. Like, this kid is just, he's straight as an arrow, man. He is legit.
That's awesome.
I love this kid.
Did he guarantee 30 points and 15 assists next year?
You know what? I asked him, where are you going to fit in with the team? He gives me the straight, like, you know, I'm just here to be a ball handler, let the other guys do it. He is, I mean, Iowa State fans are going to love this kid.
Good.
I don't know about his skills. Like, I'm not going to promise him to be, you know, Kirk Heinrich.
Yeah.
But I know the type of guy Iowa State fans just rally around.
Yep.
That's Clayton
this
Custer.
Kid. Good.
We talked a little Royals, Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
He's a Royals fan. Yep.
So you have that in common.
He doesn't believe they will make the playoffs.
What?
Yeah. You know what? I don't blame the kid, though. His attitude towards the Royals is like mine with the Minnesota Vikings. He's just like, you know what? You guys have, and I'm paraphrasing
here. He's too young to be that negative.
No, you're not, though, Adam.
Yeah, he's
a Royals
17.
Fan. How old is Clayton?
He's going to be 17,
Was he
18.
Even alive the last time they made the playoffs?
Probably not.
That's my point. I mean, the kid has just been burned by this team.
I know, but he's still too young to be that negative. You got to have a little bit. I mean, what were you, 26 when the last time the Vikings got their hearts ripped out? You were still believing then. I was with
Not
you.
That's all I needed. The Favre game at
No, it was not
New
the
Orleans.
Favre game. It was the Percy Harvin, Adrian Peterson game. Don't
Well,
put that
I mean, Favre had his share of.
Just one after the Saints took out his knees.
Nothing beats the Paul Allen call.
God,
what are you doing? You kick the field goal. You take it to overtime.
I'll tell you what, my wife still has not recovered from that game.
Adam, I'm done. I'm done. Like, I'll still cheer for him, and I want to. But, like this upcoming draft, my take on the Manziel, got into a fight at the pool.
Yeah, I've heard this
guy.
Yeah.
No, I got this last week. I got in a fight with a pool with this Patriots fan, and he's telling me, oh, you don't want Manziel. And I'm like, BS, I don't want Manziel. He'll make it interesting. Blake Bortles isn't going to make it interesting.
If Bortles wins, it's interesting.
He won't win right away.
You think Manziel win right away?
He's got a better chance to win right away than Blake Bortles.
Says who?
Me.
Huh. Interesting.
And then he's going to get knocked out and his career will be over in 2 years because he runs around too much. But you know what? Damn it. Those 2 years are going to be fun. Johnny Purple, baby.
You know what? You're so negative right now. And 4 months, if they start off 5-0 or whatever, you're going to be right back on the bandwagon. You're going to be going crazy.
No, so I won't. I'll be waiting for them to screw up again. What I'm hoping for, anytime you have a new coach, is just a total culture change. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping, you know, fresh start.
Do you think Frazier was that bad?
No, I don't. I actually don't mind Frazier that
much. I don't think
he
was that bad.
But they had to fire him. They had to. This is how jaded I am as a Vikings fan. We flew from Fort Myers to Minneapolis. And on our way taking off from Minneapolis to Des Moines, Bloom's fiance, Crystal, who's a big Vikings fan, goes, "Hey, Williams, you going to try and get a sneak peek at where the Metrodome used to be?" I said, "Nope.
Burn it down.
It's all behind me.
Burn it down."
Yeah, we knocked that. Pardon my French here. If you have children, cover their ears, all right? I'll give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We knocked that son of a bitch down, and I'm never going back there. And hopefully all the ghosts from the old Metropolitan Stadium are going to burn with it.
How can you say that? We had one of the best experiences ever there, the Vikings-Cowboys playoff game. That was a great time.
Greatest sporting event I've ever been to in my life, yeah. And I have a feeling that nothing will ever top it.
And now you're saying burn that mother down?
Yeah, wow. Absolutely.
Wow.
It's the house of horrors. The Gary Anderson kick. Burn it.
What was that, 97?
You know what? And I would even – they've knocked it down. I would be very open to – containing a fire,
yeah,
just to burn everything. Any residue that could potentially be left over from that
and
place.
Then take the ashes out to the sea.
Yeah, or just drop them off in my backyard and I'll use it as a toilet for the next couple of months. All right? Just burn it.
Wow.
I don't know how we got off on this tangent.
I don't either.
I mentioned the pool. Here's a good story from vacation. So, Bloom and I were hanging out at the pool this day, and we see a guy with a Northern Iowa hat. He's sitting around, like, with his kids. Great guy, too. Actually, so, I talked to him. He's really super guy.
Northern Iowa hat.
Yeah. Panthers.
I think I know where this is going.
Gary Rima.
Gary Rima, okay.
Good dude.
Big Hawk fan, I'm sure.
Hawk koozie.
Hawk, hell yeah. That is shocking. That is absolutely shocking.
Yep. All right, Bloom and I were just like, man, you just can't escape the Tavern Hawk.
Did you get a picture with him?
No, I didn't. He's a nice guy. I don't want to make fun of him. Because I actually talked to him, and he went to Northern Iowa, but of course he went to Northern Iowa. And you know how that story is. He doesn't even live in the state anymore, but I thought it was funny.
That was good.
Yeah.
Can't escape anywhere.
Nope. Can't escape the Tavern Hawk. All right.
So, you know, you and Bloom, a little vacation. Well?
Well, we're back.
I mean,
I'm refreshed.
How many of the conversations were sports related between the two of you?
The difference is when Bloom and I talk about sports, it's like at a totally different level than we're not talking about like X's and O's or depth charts or anything like that. It's more like who's the crappiest interview you've ever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just different. We don't have as much fun. Like ours is more like, If we could turn sports into like a reality show, like who would, you know what I mean? You know, like a Bloom column?
Because you guys like reality shows.
You know, like a Bloom column, though. It's kind of like.
It's just one of those.
Yeah. More like our conversation.
That's how he gets those ideas for his crazy columns.
You know what we did, though? Most of the time that it was sports related. It wasn't about Iowa State at all. Now, I did ask two German girls in the pool if they knew Lucas Steiger. And they looked at me like to me, that was the most fun we had. These two gals from Germany. I don't know. They were high school, college age. And our wives were there. So it's not like,
I was going to say,
this is not
okay.
Like, don't read this anything else. And they were witnesses to everything. But these girls were so much fun to talk to. Because we were asking them, like, hey, do you know who George Strait is? They're like, no, Eminem? And like, it was, we had a really good time. But moving on. The only sports conversation, Bloom and I are co-managing a fantasy baseball team together this year. It's like a diehard league. I mean, these
are
guys
in dead last?
No, we're like working third right now.
Okay.
And it's a keeper league, and we came in without any keepers. So, like, we're actually doing our pitching's just lights out.
Hang on. You must have a lot of Braves on your staff.
No, we've got we have Wainwright. We have Kershaw, who's out.
Oh.
We have Tanaka, James Shields, Mark mm-hmm. Burley. I mean, we're just lights out.
Burley's
right
been
now.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, lights out. Picked up Aaron Harang, who for the Braves is just unbelievable at this point.
Shocking.
He's going to blow up here any minute. But so what we were doing was scheming for trades on the beach was mostly what we were doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out, okay, how can we get this guy?
Now, you live with Bloom, though. So, you know, you going on a trip with him was not really anything new for you.
We've lived together. Yeah, it's
okay.
He's basically like a brother without blood.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Rhodes had a Q&A today. Paul Rhodes, that is.
Oh, he did.
Big 12 conference teleconference. Yeah, I have not had a chance to recap it yet. I will here momentarily once we get done with this podcast. Not a lot of newsy items to come from it. A couple things I did pick up on. He was asked, Randy Peterson from the Des Moines Register asked him about quarterbacks. Paul Rhodes jokingly said that it would be August 31st before he names a starter. Well, the coach, the first game's on August 30th. So, you know, I hope.
It's a good joke, yeah.
I don't know if he was joking or I don't know if he got the date mixed up.
Oh, I'm sure he was joking around.
Paul's a smart guy. I'd be surprised if he didn't know that the game was on August 30th. But
is there any question in your mind who the starter is going to be?
No, I think it's Grant Rojas.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought that the whole time, but I did get a little bit weirded out when they were splitting reps three ways.
What do you mean?
Spring.
Oh, yeah. But Rojas seemed to be playing primarily with the ones where Lanning and Richardson were not.
I think this is a conversation Bloom and I did have.
Okay.
I think that Rojas gives you the ability to beat a Oklahoma at home.
So you're giving him the Steel Jantz factor that I used to always argue with Steel Jantz over Jared Barnett.
Perhaps. I compared him to he's like Brett Favre.
Whoa.
No, just
you can't compare him to the greatest quarterback of all time.
I'm not comparing him to Brett Favre. The point is, I think he's going to give you an opportunity to win some of those games because he's not afraid to make the throw. We saw that with Grant last year.
Last two games of the year, yeah.
I mean, that guy, but what comes with that and the inexperience is the ability to blow up and throw four picks.
And that's where you hope a Mangino can kind of come in and corral that aggressiveness.
I don't see that with Sam Richardson, though.
He doesn't throw the ball, Chris.
No, he's not. And he's a better runner, but I'm not looking for that. He's not a good enough runner to make up for it. So that's why I guess that's my analysis on Rojas from what I've seen. That's where I get the Brett Favre thing where I feel like Grant can do that, but I also am not convinced. Listen, the only two teams he's ever beaten are Kansas and West Virginia. Having said that, not really fair to judge him on last year. He's a freshman playing with a completely depleted offensive
third
line.
Third string.
In an offensive scheme that is just clueless at that point last year. So it's not really fair to judge Grant Rojas.
You could say the same thing about Sam Richardson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I also have seen enough from Sam to know that he's not comfortable in that pocket.
No, he's not. And that, you know, I like Sam. And by the way, you with your shaved head, you look a lot like Sam Richardson right now.
Do I? Yeah. I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, you look a lot like Sam. No. Well, you got a little facial hair going on, right? Well, you always have the facial hair going on.
But I like that. Thank you. Sam's a good-looking kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, I, you know, even in the spring game, I thought watching him, he still has that tendency to just to hold the ball a second or 2 seconds too long. And
the
then run.
Game, though, don't judge him off of that because that line he was playing with was completely different.
And he's playing with third string wide receivers.
Yeah, that.
No,
I still don't know. Like, I don't understand. Like, Paul said not read into it, and I trust Paul. Like, I don't think Paul's just gonna. Because there's really no point.
That's coach speak, Williams.
I get it, but there's also no like, dude. Teams aren't gonna scheme for Iowa State any differently in May. Based off of Grant Rojas or Sam Richardson.
No.
I mean, it's not a big enough of a
difference.
God love
Grant, but he's not a guy that they have to sit there and really work on forever.
Absolutely not. So I believe Paul, because of Paul's stance on competition, he loves it. But I also know the tone that Mark Mangino had throughout spring, this is not going until the final week of the season.
No,
Mangino will name his guy. I mean, he's going to – I believe – this is Paul Rhodes' show, but if Mark Mangino is going to apply pressure anywhere on the head coach, it's going to be name the damn quarterback and get this charade over with.
So he can get his confidence up.
Absolutely.
Beforehand.
That's where I'm at on that.
And to me, they've already named him. I mean, I know it's a spring game, but usually you see spring games when it was back when we'd have Barnett and Steele, they would rotate back and forth.
The good old days.
I never saw any rotation there. I thought Grant was always the one in there with the first string.
Well, and he, you know what though? He conducted himself like a starting quarterback in the spring game. He wasn't perfect.
No, he missed
some
throws.
He threw some picks. You know, and I talked to Grant after the game, and he wasn't happy with how he played. He's like, yeah, I missed some shots. But you know what? I'd rather have the guy take the shot.
I agree.
Because they're not – with the defense they're going to have, you're going to have to take shots.
They're going to score a lot.
Being conservative is going to get you nowhere next year.
I agree.
So, no, I don't – that's what Paul had to say about the quarterbacks. Again, I'll write about that later on this afternoon. We'll have a complete recap up for you here. What time is it right now? But by the time you go to bed tonight, it'll be up. Devron Moore.
Yeah, what's the word with Devron?
No update, according to Paul Rhodes. However, if he does come back, according to Paul, he will not be on scholarship.
Wow.
You know what, though? I mean, the kid walked out.
No, I agree.
You can't just sit on your hands. It's a shame. But you can't just sit on you got to find somewhere. Somebody deserves that scholarship.
Well, they can't give it to anyone once school starts for the next semester,
right?
That's
the key. Once the session starts.
So he's got to come back before then if he wants to keep a scholarship.
From what I understand, he's not going to have a scholarship.
Regardless. Anyway. Wow.
Now, there was not a follow-up question asked. I do not want to misquote Coach on a – because I think scholarships are a big deal.
Very big deal.
Yeah. So, again –
that's interesting. That, you know what? I don't blame Paul on that. I mean,
you know what? If the young man is homesick, and I respect that, but you have a program to run.
Yeah, you do.
So you got a guy like Ben Bozen or Levi Peters is working his butt off. He's there.
Yeah.
I mean, give that kid the scholarship to the guy who's actually there working.
And you can't. You can't set a precedence for coddling. And it's not a shot at Devron Moore, but if you allow this kid to come back without. But keeping a scholarship and no ramifications, it just sets a bad precedence going forward.
I can buy that.
I mean,
so yeah, there's no update though.
Here's the thing with him too. I don't know if he's going to start or not. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't have that more kid. But we needed his depth because I actually like our starting safeties, athletic wise. They're green. They don't have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
But I think we got two guys that are upgraded in talent from last year, not experience wise.
So I agree with you with Mutcherson over Broomfield. I find that hard to buy the Cotton Moya over.
Well, if you listen to Paul Rhodes, what was the one thing he said about Jacquez Washington? He's a smart player. He's not very athletic.
Yeah.
He said it over and over. Like I said, I'm not saying he's a better player than Washington. I said athletically, I think he's an upgrade over him.
No, athletically.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's more talented, though. I mean, I think – do you consider talent – this is an interesting guy.
No, you're right. Yeah, go on.
Because I think talent is part of your overall game.
Mentally, talent. Yeah, I agree.
Because, I mean, that's why let's just say this year's team, Luke Knott.
Yeah.
He's not more athletic than name a guy.
But he's a talented football player because
he knows damn well where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there.
And it's not fair to compare Cotton Moya to a fifth-year senior. He's only a freshman this year. Just ruptures Achilles.
He's more upside.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they have more upside, but if they're struggling in a game, who are you going to put in as a backup now? If he's struggling, Moore's gone. The Kwon Floyd's not even on campus yet.
I honestly don't know, and that's what's funny because I'm doing some preseason magazine work.
Yeah,
and they needed like projected two deeps like a week ago. I didn't know. I put Devron Moore in there
Did
as
you?
His backup because you know why? Because I couldn't find anybody else, and I'm thinking What am I supposed to do?
And you know what? If he doesn't come back now, people are going to be reading this in a couple months, and they're going to be like, geez, Williams doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. What an idiot.
Well, that was a tough assignment.
That was. Especially
usually
because
it's not bad, but this year, like...
Are Cohen Irving on there?
Well, luckily. So I was getting rumblings on Friday.
Okay.
Friday evening before the spring game that Irving was gone.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't have enough to report. So I sent my editor a note and been like, dude, I think this is changing. Can you give me like an extra 24 hours? And he did. And that was good too because I also adjusted quarterbacks because what I was doing before then, I was going strictly off of Mangino's presser the week before where he's like, yeah, it's a three-man race. And I'm like, oh, my God. So then I adjusted it and leaned heavily towards Rohatch but said, you know, this, and this could happen, but I think it's going to be this guy.
Sure.
But – yeah, the Devron Moore thing's big because I had him penciled in as a starter when he committed.
So did I.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if he would have been.
I don't know if he would have been.
I don't know.
Either.
We haven't seen him either.
Generally, though, when JUCOs come in the spring,
there's a really good chance.
There's like a 75% chance, I'd say, that they start.
Yeah.
When they come in the fall,
it's like 10, 15.
And the
early on, now maybe later in the year they'll start, but first couple of games.
Game six is when you start to look at the fall JUCO and say, what can you do for me?
Look at Rodney Coe last year.
Yeah.
Great example.
Well, now you got Terry Ianni, who's going to do the same thing this year, who Rhodes said, we'll play defensive tackle.
Oh, they are moving for sure. Okay.
He's coming in from as a defensive end, going as a defensive tackle. Who's that sound like? Rodney Coe, but I don't think Terry's as talented as Rodney Coe.
That
so,
hurts.
You know, that's the thing. By the time this kid's coming around, season's going to be over.
You
have him for 1 year.
1 year, yep.
It's a, and that's why I'm kind of obsessed with it. But, man, if you can get these guys in the spring, you're so much farther ahead.
Absolutely.
Your boy Gabe Luna, he's going to play. You know why? But he wouldn't have probably if he comes in.
Because he has to.
Yeah. But if he would have come in the fall, I mean, he may have gotten some snaps, but.
Maybe I'm being hard on Gabe Luna. I just don't see it, Chris.
Well, you know what, though? I actually got an up close and personal look at Gabe.
Yeah.
He is exactly how Paul has described him.
A thick, hardworking guy.
Yeah, yeah, he really is. And you know what? He'll be able to give you some snaps. I think he will.
Okay.
He's a hard nosed kid though.
Like, I'm sure he is.
To him, yeah,
and I'm sure he's a heck of a football player.
Rather have a guy like that than a talented one.
This is Big 12 football, Chris, and you can't run out a 6'1", 240-pound defensive end against
255.
Okay, 6'1", 255 against these big left and right tackles and expect him to get any pressure.
And
the quarterback.
That's why he's probably going to be 10 to 15 snaps.
Yeah,
I mean he's Patrick Neal,
but he's not. 10 to 15 snaps. At what against the run? He's not a pass rushing defensive end. He had
perhaps
three sacks.
You know what? They need to play 3-4, and I don't know any more than Wally. Like I'm not saying I, but they need to have that. I bet you they schematically have some 3-4 worked in next year, based off of what I'm seeing.
Do you move Gabe Luna outside to an outside linebacker in that situation?
Idea. What I would do, and again, I'm not Wally Burnham. I'm far from a football genius, but you go with Jevin Miller. Is your fourth. He's a senior.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, I'm more comfortable throwing him out there.
Do you think we have, to run a 3-4, though, you need to have six quality linebackers probably at least, right?
I think Levi Peters can be a quality linebacker.
You think
Yeah,
is he a junior this year?
He's a sophomore.
He's still only a sophomore.
Yeah, my prediction, he's a scholarship guy next year, not in 14, in 15, and he plays.
Well, and if more
I don't know if he starts, but he plays.
Huh.
He's actually good. This
yeah,
is not,
good.
This is
I
a
love
Jesse
watching
Smith
on
type
special
story
yep.
where he could. I don't think he can be as good as Jet, but he is.
He could
intense.
Be as good as Jesse.
Perhaps
he could
but
be.
I don't think he put up those numbers. It's a whole different program at that point.
Yeah,
that's the reason Jesse Smith put up those numbers is not because Jesse's just Lawrence Taylor out there.
Sure,
it's because they don't have a line in front of him. Well, that could be the case this year too. But nonetheless, so if you go 3-4, let's just.
Let's do it.
Let's play this out. Luke Knott, in my opinion, is challenged by his size, clearly, but he's in the right spot.
Yeah.
And as long as he's healthy, I'm telling you, that's what Wally Burnham wants.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the field.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's more athletes, whatever. So, Jordan Harris, I think, eventually wins the middle linebacker spot.
Okay.
The JUCO. And you've got Jared Brackens at strong side.
Okay.
So who's your fourth guy? You got to go Jevin Miller, don't you?
You do.
Or don't sleep on Alton Meeks.
I thought Alton Meeks looked great in the spring game, and I know it's a spring game, but he looks the part. He's got some good speed to him.
That two deep that I talked about.
Yeah.
I had a hell of a time at the middle linebacker spot. I think when fall camp starts, Alton Meeks is your guy. I think eventually Jordan Harris is the guy, though.
Okay.
You got to have a speed guy out there who can. And Harris, although I will say this, just the eye test, he's not as fast as I thought. He's not Jeremiah George out there.
No, he's not.
I mean, he's clearly not that type of player, but he's a better run defender than I guess I was expecting to.
Yeah,
I think he wins the job though, but I really do, and I think Kane Sealy's coming around from. Wally Burnham called him one of the most improved guys in the roster.
Do you think Alt Meeks stays the middle linebacker, or do you think they move him outside? See, I thought they.
I don't think he's fast enough to be outside, is he?
I thought I saw him blitz off the outside a couple times.
He's 6'2", 249.
It's good size.
Yeah.
Especially for first day.
He's a good-looking kid. I think these linebackers, I think this is a group that's going to be fun to watch in a couple of years.
Do you?
They're going to take some. I really do.
Who with them?
I'm excited about these guys. Brian Mills, they still love, but he's so small.
He's tiny. He's Luke Knott's size.
He needs to put on. He will. I mean, he's 5'10", 227.
That's too small.
Yeah, he's too small right now, but I think based off of what I heard, I mean, in a couple of years, he could be a stud.
I would like to see them use a scholarship or two a year, going to get a kid from Iowa, just a small-town kid who's 6'3", 220, and say, you're going to be an outside linebacker for us, and try to build
Farm
him
kid.
Up. Go get an Adam Carper.
Yeah. Farm kid. No, I completely agree.
I'd rather use that. I mean, no offense to Brian Mills or these other guys, but these 5'10 guys from Florida aren't cutting at linebacker. They're not cutting.
No, same with the corners.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple on this year's recruiting class, which I loved, by the way. I loved this year's recruiting class. I really did. But I'm looking if I can find my sheet in front of me, and I'm like, why are these guys still being recruited? And I'm going strictly by size.
And
I'm not even going to name names because it's not fair to judge the kid before he gets on campus. But there's one defensive back they brought in, 5'9", 160.
Not going to give me his name,
I'm not going to give you his name because I'm not going to judge the kid before he gets here. And I'm hoping that he proves me wrong, and I don't like putting expectations, yay or nay, on anyone. But my point is, like, when has that worked out?
Jeremy Reeves, only one, right?
Yeah, and that's a pretty big rarity.
Yeah, and Jeremy Reeves is an athletic freak.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw his vertical.
And that's, like, my deal. And I've written this. So this is nothing new that I'm saying here. But I would much rather bring in a guy like Rigo Gafford, who didn't sign anywhere. I don't even know where he's going.
Iowa Western.
Is he going to Iowa Western?
Iowa Western, yep.
That kid will play D1 ball in 2 years, clearly.
Yeah.
And my thing is, I'd rather bring in a kid like that who wants to play for you, who would gut it out. And he's not very big either.
He's 5'9 as well, isn't
he? Yeah, he's a small guy too. But my point is, I'd rather bring in the guy who just wants to gut it out for you, man.
Sure.
Kind of like what you're saying about the Iowa Farm Boy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if we're comparing 5'9 guy to 5'9 guy, I have no problem with taking a guy from Texas over a guy from Iowa. And the reason I say that is,
I want the kid who wants to bleed the Cardinal in goal, because there's not many of them out there.
Who's to say the kid from Texas won't?
I don't know. But I think you have a better shot if the kids are equal prospects to just take the Iowa kid.
But I think some of it is, too. Iowa State wants to get in with some of these schools in Texas.
I know.
And so if you can take one of those guys and get a relationship.
How many Texas kids did they sign? I mean, they're doing enough.
They're
crying out loud.
But I think you just kind of keep that relationship going. And, I mean, do they really need it from Valley? Do they need to get that relationship from Valley?
Gafford was from Dowling, but the point stands. Yeah. 8 Texas kids on the roster. From this year.
From the class?
Yeah. Listen.
I'm talking about, if you're looking at size-wise, give
I'm
me a
acting like
6'3
Tom
linebacker,
Lemming
please.
Here. No, there's a kid from, I went and watched Clarinda play in he's the youngest Furch kid, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
think he's going to Northern Iowa.
Okay.
And I said to, you brought his name up, Adam Carper, who was there. I go, watch, that kid's going to come down and beat Iowa State some year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the guys that generally do it.
Yep.
They're pissed off, and maybe they aren't like that if they come to Iowa State eventually. And
I'm not saying the whole class. I'm saying one, two guys.
Yeah. Per year.
Per year.
Completely agree with you.
And
just find the hardest working, hard-nosed kid who you think might be a gem, a hidden gem.
I agree.
What's funny, though, is they're probably already doing this. I mean, really.
Yeah.
They probably are. But it's fun for us to sit up on our soapbox and act like recruiting analysts.
That's what I do.
That's what we do. All right. Mr. B Clothing Podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. We appreciate you tuning in today. Fresh off of vacation. My mind is, it's so wide open.
Are you still picturing Busch Lights and Coronas? Or?
So here's a funny thing. With everything I do, I'm refreshed now. I went to CrossFit yesterday.
Yeah.
Refreshed. I thought I was going to die. I'm not kidding, Adam. I probably drank 40 beers in Florida last week.
That's that you're being conservative for our listeners. You drank way more than 40.
Well, Bloom and I, we had 2 cases of Busch Light.
Okay.
That we had back at the condo.
Yep.
And then every night we went out. I have a new favorite beer, by the way.
What's that?
Other than the good stuff.
What's that?
You ever heard of Sea Dog?
No, I've never heard of Sea Dog.
It's a brewery out of Maine that it would be kind of like Maine's like Boulevard, I guess. It's not what the beer tastes like, but that type of it's a local deal.
Really?
Well, they picked it up in Florida. It's a big deal in Florida now.
Is it kind of like the Yuengling's kind of big deal over?
Yeah, kind of, but it's not as big.
Okay.
Again, like the same size as like Boulevard, where you know Boulevard's yep. prevalent here, but it's not like if you go to California. It's not there.
Yeah.
They have like a blueberry beer.
Ooh,
it's fan freaking tastic. You can buy it at Hy-Vee here in town, in Ankeny.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get some.
I bought it there. You know, like if you do the mixer six pack. I've had it before.
Yeah.
And then so the first night we got down there, we just randomly went to this place. In Fort Myers, and they had it on tap, and I'm like,
ooh, even better.
Yeah, I go, I'm gonna have this on tap. So I had it, and I'm like, Bloom, you gotta try this, dude. And he's fighting me on it, and then he tasted mine. He's like, oh my god, this is like the greatest thing ever. So we basically just went around town just trying to find Sea Dog.
And a lot of places had it?
Quite a few.
Really?
They have an apricot beer. Is it? Yeah.
Apricot, wow.
And it's really good, too. I've had it before.
So you had more than 40 beers, let's be honest.
No, because I had a lot of Jack Daniels.
Oh, okay.
I had to switch it up. I can't just do the same
thing. Keep the body guessing.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
That apricot beer sounds good, too, though.
So I went to work out yesterday. I'm thinking, man, this is going to suck. But I was refreshed. Everything. That's why you need to take a vacation every once in a while.
Well, especially you really now. This is probably the first time you've been home you'll be home for an extended period of time in, what, 2 months? A month and a half?
Since February.
February, yeah.
Since before the Big 12 tournament.
But the vacation was obviously different. You were with your wife. You were relaxing. You weren't working. Much needed vacation for you.
No, the traveling in the tournament's not vacation.
No.
In fact, it's longer days than when you're here.
Those are just more.
Days are long.
You got shoot-arounds. You got press conferences beforehand. Yeah.
And then the travel. And then you've got, like on a game day, you get there 2-3 hours early.
Yeah.
The game is 2 hours.
How was it working at Madison Square Garden? How was that?
It was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. Honestly, to me, it means more to cover a game at Allen Fieldhouse.
At Madison Square Garden?
Me, because I'm more passionate about the college game.
Okay.
To me, but to do it for the first time, I mean, I've been to Allen Fieldhouse a lot of times, but it was amazing. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
It was really cool. They had a cool road to the Final Four that didn't quite get to the Final Four, but they had San Antonio was weird. It was not what I was expecting, but it was still cool. I'm glad that I got to experience the whole Riverwalk and that scene. Very neat. And then New York was, that was a whirlwind, though, because I was there for like 48 hours. I think I got like 6 hours of sleep. Because, we did that all-nighter where I met Bill Cosby.
You did?
Yeah.
Gosh. I got that text like 4 a.m. I could hardly hardly open my eyes. I get a picture with you and a guy. I'm like, who is that? And you're like, it's Bill Cosby. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I just shot right up. I'm like, yeah, that was crazy.
It's my boy. It's my guy.
I was wondering why you're texting me at 4 a.m, too. I didn't realize you just pulled an all-nighter to catch the flight.
I said, I'm getting home, man.
I don't blame you.
I was tired.
I don't like New York, Chris.
I'm not a big fan. You know, we've gone over this numerous times. I don't care for it much either.
No, it's dirty.
Oh, it's disgusting. You know how like dirty an airport is? Any airport, pick an airport. That's what New York City is like.
Everywhere. I mean, trash bags are outside. Dogs are pooping on sidewalks. You got
the homeless.
Yeah.
They're prevalent. And God bless them. I hope they find a home. I'm not trying to be insensitive. But, I mean, you can't go anywhere without feeling like you're going to get stabbed.
See, I never don't feel safe. I'll be honest with you. When I've been there, I've never not felt safe. That's the one thing.
Chewing on ice.
There's so many people around that I'm like, I don't think anything's going to happen to me because there's just so many people here.
I feel like the one misconception of New York City people say like, oh, they're really rude. I don't think that. In fact, I've had pleasant experiences when I've gone to New York.
I don't know if I've ever had anyone be downright rude, but when I walk by somebody and it's just like me and them walking on a sidewalk, I typically will say, hey, how you doing? They'll walk right by you. They won't say hi back.
That's because, though, there's just a million people walking.
No, but like
where you and I walk around, it's like if you walk by somebody, I mean, you have to say hello.
Or here's another thing I noticed, too. I let people walk by in front of me. Like if a lady's walking and she's got a cut in front of me, I'll stop and say, you can go right ahead. No one in New York City does that. Everyone's head is down. They don't look at anyone. They look straight at the ground, and they just move.
Yeah.
And they just move. To me, I personally think that's just rude, but maybe I shouldn't consider it rude. It's just that's the way they do it.
They should consider making everybody wear name tags.
What?
Have you seen that Seinfeld episode?
No.
Yeah.
Actually, I probably have. But
yeah. No, it's an oldie but a goodie. Okay, final topic that I had on my hit list for today. Did you see this Texas linebacker called Baylor Trash?
I did see that.
Here's
a
quote.
I laughed.
Let me read the quote for you. Steve Edman, linebacker. We could have won the conference, even though I didn't get a chance to play in the Baylor game. I really feel like we should have beat Baylor. I don't really like Baylor. I still think they're trash. Yay or nay? You like the attitude there? Looking down at little brother as far as Texas goes?
Oh, I love the attitude.
Yeah, you like that?
Love the attitude. I don't love the fact that you said it publicly.
I fancy you as a guy who would be hand-pounding this guy behind the scenes.
No, I would never say it publicly like that. It comes off as a bitter loser.
It comes off as arrogant. Texas doesn't need any more of that.
Yeah, they need more of it, Chris.
No, their arrogance is, no, you don't want to be arrogant. Cocky's fine.
Well, okay, so
for
it's
a linebacker, cocky. Yeah. Arrogant is different.
It's a fine line. It's a really
very
fine
line.
Very fine line.
Arrogant is, I'm better than you. Arrogant to me is more of a born on third and think you hit a triple type deal. Cocky is, you know, I kick your butt, man.
See, I didn't hear. I heard more of a pissed off attitude with that. And I didn't hear him. I just reading it. I thought he seemed more upset. And to me, that seems more just like an angry cocky than an arrogant. Maybe that's just
quote.
I read.
Here's another quote. I'm like, they want it. So what? They still suck to me.
See, you could have gone without that last one. Funny. I enjoy reading it from two teams that I don't really care necessarily a whole lot about. But, I mean, for Texas, they seem to have lost their mojo. And if they can get a little bit of their mojo back, I don't care if it's talking trash or what.
They'll be
go for it.
Texas will be like at least 10-2 this year. And I haven't even looked at their schedule. I really don't know much about their personnel.
You think that much of Charlie Strong or just that much of everyone that's coming back?
Yeah, I think they've had talent. And I think that Strong was the perfect hire.
I don't know what to think of Strong. I don't. So I'm not.
He was the perfect. That was not. You know, when Will Muschamp went to Florida,
yeah,
that was a program that was down on talent compared to, you know, their glory days.
Who?
Florida.
No.
Yeah, they were down on talent compared to when what's his name? Herb. Herb was there.
He took over after Herb left, didn't he?
Was he the guy who took over right after?
I thought so.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong. Yeah, I'm thinking of the wrong situation.
You're thinking of when Herb took over.
Yeah,
no, Ron Zook had. He had a lot of talent too. They always had talent.
Okay, just scrap that.
Sorry,
yeah, I'm getting all my Florida schools mixed up. I'm thinking of Jimbo.
Jimbo, yeah.
I'm thinking of Jimbo went to Florida State. That's what I was thinking of. They were down on talent, and it took him a while because Bobby wasn't. As long as Bobby was there, and you know I'm a Florida State guy.
Yeah,
I love Florida State. As long as Bobby was there, they were going to recruit well. But not as well as they could because of the whole, you know.
Especially when you get these young guys like Urban Meyer coming in who
they just kill Bobby Bowden on the recruiting trail. Yeah. But I don't think that's the case at Texas right now. I feel like there is legitimate talent there.
Yeah.
You just got to add the guy to bring it out in them. They clear. And Mac did an all right job the way last year played out compared to how it looked like it might play out.
The BYU game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mac did a pretty good job coaching last year, but it was time. Mac knew that. I think Charlie Strong is a great hire.
Oh, I don't know if Mac knew that because you could tell still at the end of the year he was coaching for his life. He was coaching for his job.
Yeah, but if he was so bitter, though, and thought it was an absolute – he wouldn't be sticking around Texas and being the
– No, I get that, too.
Yeah. He would have done Dan McCarney and taken the job.
He
and,
still wanted to coach, though.
No, yeah. I think the competitor in him absolutely did. But, I mean, if he was bitter and thought that he had been wronged, I don't think he would hanging out as a
– If you use one word to describe Texas last couple of years, what would that one word be?
Underachieving,
I would just say soft.
Well, that too,
soft. You're right, Charlie Strong. When I look at him, that's the last thing I think of.
Yeah,
he seems like a guy who's intense.
They've got that Swoops kid,
good leadership. Swoops will be interesting.
I don't know if I'm sold on him, but I think he's interesting. That's a good way to put him.
Yeah, very interesting. He doesn't seem to be able to throw the ball, but you know what? None of the other quarterbacks could throw it very well either. And he probably brings a little bit more added athleticism.
Yeah.
So is David Ash? Is he gone?
I don't know.
Huh. But back to this kid. So what do you think of his comment? You asked me what I thought of the trash talking from the Texas to Baylor player. What did you think?
Yeah, I have the same take as you. I don't think it really – I appreciate his
He gives us something to talk about.
I appreciate
right now.
His passion.
Yeah.
But it's misdirected. See, the way that comes off to me is sort of disrespectful.
Yeah.
That doesn't come off as we have a pretty damn good program here in Texas and we're proud of that. That comes off as arrogant.
They still suck. You should not say that. Yeah.
That you're putting your opponent down.
Exactly.
You're not building yourself up.
In your conference. A team in your conference.
That beat you.
Yeah. I have no problem with the guy saying
We should have won.
Yeah. I felt like we should have won if I would have played. You know, I wouldn't have said it publicly, but having that thought process and feeling that, I think every competitor thinks that way.
Dude.
You can't say it, though.
Baylor's going to be tough again this year.
Oh, yeah.
They made me my pick.
Whoa, if I was a Baylor fan, I would not want to be your pick.
The curse.
Oh. How'd TCU do last year? I forget.
Hey, I had a bad year. I nailed it the year before.
You know what, Williams?
It's a bad year.
You do picks, and hey, you know, it's my job. I do picks. I do a pick, and you, like, ridicule me.
Well, here's
like
the difference,
crazy.
Though, Adam, because if you make any sort of a pick at all,
yeah,
you nauseate all of your friends and by just relentless emails and text messages
that is
updating us
bull.
On how your picks are doing.
That is bull.
And then whenever anybody else makes a pick, and it the slightest looks negative. I mean, it's just one text after another. Just talk. That's why
you can't handle a little trash talk.
No, I just don't want to handle it.
Okay, first off,
I don't want to deal with it all the time.
Let's go back to when
I already have a couple thousand hawk trolls on Twitter coming at me for. I don't want my friends to just give me the business at 9 o'clock on a random Wednesday
night.
Let's
use a better analogy than give me the business, please.
I love that. Saying the old Ron Cherry.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was giving him the business.
But, you know, you picked TCU, you know, and that's fair.
I wasn't the only one who picked TCU.
No, it's fair. You know, they had injuries. They had some bad luck.
They had injuries. They had, like, their whole team was out.
After the first NBA game, I did one tweet. I said the Knicks will not make the playoffs, and the Bulls will finish as a 5 seed. They finish as a 4 seed. Knicks didn't make the playoffs. You, like, killed me. You were just kidding because, oh, Gray's making a prediction after watching one game.
Well,
let's bring this up.
Let's bring it up. You were wrong on one of them. You went 50% on your prediction.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was off by 1 seed in the East.
Yeah, but that was before Derrick Rose went out. See, and then you act like, oh, I'm this big genius. Like you knew Derrick Rose was going to be out.
Lopez got hurt for Brooklyn. Maybe Brooklyn would have passed the Bulls, and they would have been a 5 seed still. Who knows, Williams? Come on.
Don't be ridiculous. You're just going to shrug off Derrick Rose getting injured just like that.
So, but you used TCU's injuries as a crutch.
Because they had like 10 of them. There were like 10 starters out at one
Yeah,
point.
10 starters is equivalent to a Derrick Rose in basketball.
No, they were not. They clearly weren't the Big 12 champs, even if they had those players.
No, I know.
I said that. I'm pretty sure I made that clear like 5 weeks into the season.
Yeah, but I'll probably bring it up for a long time.
Go ahead. If that's what makes you feel better. That's what makes you feel better. Go for it.
It's kind of like your Tad Boyle, you know, and then he gets just demolished
what do you
in the
want?
First round.
What do you want? What seriously though? Like, what more could you want from Tad Boyle with what he's done at Colorado?
Win a NCAA tournament game, maybe not lose by 40 to Pittsburgh.
We all know how you. Okay, you put it this way: you can't use the NCAA tournament to gauge.
No, I know.
Everybody knows that. Tad Boyle, though, like, and we're not even bringing that up. You brought it up.
Yeah.
He's done a hell of a job.
Oh, he's a great coach. I just like to give you a hard time. You know
well,
that.
If you're going to give me a hard time, hell, I called that years ago that Boyle was the man. Like,
you did.
You're giving me credit when you did that.
I
what
know.
Are you giving me
I'm
a hard time about
credit.
Him for?
Well, between him and Lon Kruger. Lon Kruger's
turn him into a tournament team, just like I said they would. Well, you're proving my points right here. You're making me look good with this. What do you? If you're gonna come at me,
these elite coaches can't even beat North Dakota State in the NCAA tournament. You know what I'm talking about?
Stop.
They lose to the Bison.
Just stop.
The Bison.
Not a bad program. Bad matchup.
Bad match. You think Fred Hoiberg would lose to the Bison in the NCAA tournament?
Maybe. I'm not gonna say he won't. Upsets happen all the time, man, to good coaches. Coach K got beat this year. Is he a crappy coach?
Well, he's got rings to prove it, that he's a good coach.
So Fred doesn't have rings, though.
He's 40 years old. That's
gotcha. All right. We got to wrap this up because we're sitting right at an hour right now, and frankly, I've got other things to do. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by. We want to encourage you to visit our friends at Mr. B Clothing, 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. Hey, people are hounding me. When are you going to have the golf tournament details?
That's a great question.
What are you doing? What are you doing with your time? What are we paying you for?
You're just trying to piss me off right now. And it's working. It's working.
Like, I'm getting like 2-3 tweets a day from people asking about this golf
tournament.
Great.
That means what we're doing is we're building momentum.
So are we going to have details soon for people?
I'm hoping we'll have details within the next week or two.
Well, now it's maybe 2 weeks?
I am at the mercy of other people on this one. I have to wait on a couple things.
All right. So there you have it. Well, so it's going to be later in the summer.
Yeah, last year we had it May 17th, but this year
it's
going to be
the
July,
plan is
probably.
It's going to be better this year. We've got some stuff cooked up for you. That's why it's taking a while. So we'll get back to you on all the golf tournament stuff as soon as possible. And that's about it. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Again, Mr. B Clothing, 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. Bloom will be back next week. For Adam Gray, I'm Chris Williams. So long.
Go Cyclones.